Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Congratulations, true crime addicts. We've survived another week. It is Friday, March 22nd, 2024. This week, an LA handyman dies with a secret. A pastor goes medieval on his daughter's boyfriend. And the Detroit Lions are short one cornerback. All this and more. Stay tuned.
Yes, super excited. We are all pumped to have James Renner.
James Renner.
Suspects that James Renner has zeroed in.
James Renner once again drops a bombshell.
Investigative journalist reporter James Renner, who's been on the podcast a long time,
by a local writer.
And we're back with True Crime This Week with your host, me, James Renner. How you doing? I've missed you. It's been, what, 7 days? But I'm back. Hey, I do have this other podcast. If you haven't checked it out yet, go check it out. It gets better every week. It's called Synth Sleuths. That's synth with two Ys, Synth Sleuths. And it is a deep dive into some of the world's most confounding unsolved mysteries. And my co-host is an AI. It's AI. Her name's Sky. And we have a little will they or won't they, Sam and Diane type of thing going on. But anyways, check it out. We talk about consciousness at the beginning of the episode and then dive into a cold case and figure out what AI can do to solve some of these unsolved mysteries. Anyways, I'm having fun with it. As always, I want to thank Walter for being here to edit the episode. Walter's just back from L.A., where he made a quick $500 letting Dan Schneider rub his feet. So he's got that going for him. Let's jump over to the top stories. Some crazy stories this week. Each one of these stories would make an excellent season of Fargo, in my opinion, especially this top one. This top story this week is a twisty story of human ingenuity and depravity. On August 10th, 2023, 36-year-old Deborah Lynn Frazier called 911 to report a burglary in progress. Two men had broken into her home, she said. This was in rural Zanesville, Ohio. Not the sort of place where this happens very often, but Deborah sounded terrified on the phone and begged police to come quick. The dispatcher heard a gunshot in the background. But when police arrived, they found only Deborah in the doorway. She was alive, but she'd been shot in the leg, and the gun lay nearby. In the bedroom, police found the body of Deborah's live-in boyfriend, Thomas Waddell, wrapped in trash bags and duct tape. Somebody had shot him in the back of the head with the same gun that was used to shoot Deborah. At first sight, it appeared to be a brazen crime. A bit of the city coming down to the country. But the more police investigated, the more Deborah's story began to fall apart. For one, the burglars didn't take anything of value. There were other guns still in the house, for instance. And none of the neighbors saw anybody running out of the house. Police dusted for fingerprints, though, and on the television they found prints belonging to a man named David Eugene Grantham. And they found out that this Grantham character was a man from Florida with a history of theft. According to LawAndCrime.com, they thought maybe they had their man. But when they reached out to Florida police, they learned that Grantham was already dead. He died of an overdose in 2021. And he'd been found by his roommate, a woman, named Deborah Lynn Frazier. Then police reviewed Google searches on Deborah's phone and found searches for, quote, how to load a gun and worst place to get hit in the head, end quote. They also discovered that Deborah had another boyfriend who thought Waddell was an older relative with Alzheimer's that Deborah was just taking care of. It also appeared that Deborah was skimming money out of the old man's account, all of which led to Deborah pleading guilty on Monday to murder and gross abuse of a corpse. I'm sure it was gross. She faces life in prison at sentencing. All that planning and scheming, and for what? There's a line I remember from that series Mindhunter on Netflix that I think about whenever I hear a story like this. It goes like this. What people won't do to each other, there's nothing they won't do. All right, here's the next story. Equally as weird. On February 26th, a 56-year-old man named, a 56-year-old handyman named Mark Clemens died on the job at an apartment complex in Los Angeles. It's the sort of thing that happens all the time, right? A stroke, a heart attack, handyman goes down, doesn't come up. Mark Clemens had worked as a building super in the fashion district for years, especially at this apartment complex. But when the medical examiner performed a routine scan of the man's fingerprints, they were surprised to discover that Mark Clemens was not the man's real name. Turns out he was actually Christian Basham, the police announced this week, according to the LA Times. Basham was from Bremerton, Washington, where he had gone missing in 2008 while awaiting trial for raping a 13-year-old child. A witness called in to police and said they'd seen Basham jump off the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. Police found his vehicle at the scene back then, and they found a suicide note inside. So many assumed he'd committed suicide, but his body was never found, so they didn't officially rule him dead or close the case. When residents of the apartment complex learned of their handyman's secret past, many were a little alarmed, to say the least, since he did have keys to everybody's homes. But it appears his crime stayed in Washington along with his name. All right, the final top story this week before we get to cold case updates. A church pastor was arrested in California on Wednesday and charged with conspiracy to commit murder, according to The Independent. Police arrested 47-year-old Samuel Pasillas, who they say paid a hitman $40,000 to kill his daughter's boyfriend last year. But the boyfriend proved to be one tough son of a bitch. He was driving through Riverside on October 21st when a car pulled up beside him. Somebody began to shoot at him. He was hit several times but managed to drive himself to a nearby hospital where he recovered from his wounds. The police were able to identify the shooter as Juan Manuel Cabreros and found that Cabreros had been surveilling the victim for weeks and that Pasillas provided him with the location of his daughter's boyfriend the day of the attempted hit. Pasillas is the pastor of a church in Victorville, not far away, where he teaches the many lessons of Jesus, such as turn the other cheek, except when it's your daughter's boyfriend, and then shoot him a bunch of times, I think is how it goes. I haven't read the New Testament in a while, though. So those are the top stories this week. After the break, we got to talk about the fallout from Quiet on Set, the documentary. This fugitive football player, 12-year-old girl went missing, but don't worry, she was found. All this and more. I'll be back in 2 and 2.
Please hang up and try again.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about
work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
And we're back with Growing Pains, starring Alan Thicke. Hey, talking about Alan Thicke, the new true crime documentary Quiet on Set is making waves in Hollywood after its premiere on Max last week, and Tinseltown is feeling the fallout from the creepiness that happened at Nickelodeon Studios back in the day. The biggest reveal in the documentary concerns the arrest and conviction of Brian Peck, a dialogue coach at Nickelodeon who was sentenced to 16 months in prison for raping a child, who was revealed to be Drake and Josh's star Drake Bell. As soon as he was released, though, Peck was back at work acting in TV shows run by his friends in L.A. The judge in Peck's case considered letters of support by Peck's friends when considering his sentencing. Now, this week, especially on TikTok, many of those letters were made public, and we got to hear who was defending this man, and he got dozens and dozens of letters. Several famous people came out in support of Peck, and at times the letters actually directly blamed the underage child for coming on to Peck too strongly, as if that's a thing. Authors of support of these letters include James Marsden, that's Cyclops from the X-Men series, and Alan Thicke, the father from the 80s TV sitcom Growing Pains, once known as America's favorite dad. But in the real world, I didn't know this until this week, by the way, Alan Thicke, he was 40 years old when he started dating Christy Swanson, who was 17 years old at the time. So, interesting bedfellows. Meanwhile, producer Dan Schneider, who is often seen with his arms draped around 12-year-old Amanda Bynes, responded to the documentary in an interview this week, saying, quote, "I definitely owe some people a pretty strong apology," end quote. Schneider is now in the running for understatement of 2024. I think he might win that one. Detroit Lions cornerback Cameron Sutton is currently a fugitive of the law, according to ESPN. Sutton has not been seen since March 7th, when police responded to a call at a house in Lutz, Florida, where Sutton allegedly beat the shit out of a woman before fleeing the scene. He faces a battery by strangulation charge, a felony punishable by 5 years in prison. Yesterday, the Detroit Lions officially fired Sutton. Now, there's not many good outcomes to this story. We've seen it played out before. If Sutton hasn't killed himself, and if he doesn't die by cop when he's finally found, this man's going to jail for a very long time. So we're going to, I imagine we'll see an end to the story one way or another in the coming days. But I got some good news for you this week. A missing 12-year-old girl from Nampa, Idaho, was found safe last night, according to KMVT.com. Peyton Murrieta disappeared last Friday at around 4:55 a.m. Police and family have searched for her for days, asking for the public's help. If you're on social media, you've heard about Peyton this week. Everybody was looking for her. She's been found safe. Her family believes she'd met up with an older man after finding a dating app on her phone in which she had claimed she was 18 years old. No word yet on how she was located or who she was with, but this could likely be a big story in the following weeks. Parents, please, please monitor your children's online activity. Now, I give my kids a lot of autonomy, but I do have that app that allows you to track their online presence. And it's just a good thing to do. You know what your kids are up to without like shaming them or embarrassing them or anything. This week, a piece of chewing gum led to the conviction of a man for a 1980 unsolved murder, according to CBS News. 60-year-old Robert Plimpton has been found guilty of the 1980 murder of Barbara Mae Tucker in Multnomah County Court. That's outside Portland, Oregon. Tucker was a 19-year-old college student at Mount Hood Community College in Gresham. On January 15, 1980, she failed to show up for a night class. Witnesses saw her run out of a wooded area on campus and then be led back by an unknown man. Her body was found the next day. She had been sexually assaulted and beaten to death. Parabon Nanolabs used genetic genealogy to trace evidence back to Plimpton, and then police collected his discarded chewing gum to confirm the match. That's what you get for tossing your gum out. A couple strange details in this case. Plimpton was not convicted of rape or sex abuse because prosecutors failed to prove he assaulted the woman before she died, which is weird. Why does that matter? Also, if I'm doing the math right, Plimpton was only 16 years old when he committed the murder, making him a juvenile at the time. So it should be interesting with all those circumstances to see what exactly he receives at his sentencing in June. Let's jump over to weird news. The Prime Minister of Italy filed a defamation lawsuit this week against a 40-year-old man and his 73-year-old father for creating deepfake pornography featuring her likeness and uploading it to a U.S. porn site, according to The Telegraph. Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni is seeking $100,000 in damages, which she says she'll donate to victims of domestic violence if she wins in a trial scheduled for July. Now, police tracked the men behind the deepfakes by a digital trail left by their smartphones when they uploaded the videos. The outcome of this case could have profound effects on further deepfake porn videos created using AI, leaving many incels to rely on scissors and paste in People magazines to get their rocks off in the future. Or JCPenney magazines. Whatever you have, I guess. Are you watching American Conspiracy? The Octopus Murders on Netflix? We're jumping over to pop culture here, if you're following me. I've been watching this show the last couple nights, because there's nothing else it's a nice background when I'm playing Hearthstone and just chilling out at the end of the day. But anyways, yeah, American Conspiracy, The Octopus Murders. This is about the supposed murder of Danny Casolaro, whose 1991 death was ruled a suicide, but internet sleuths believe it was actually murder by the deep state. Now, I can't help it. This documentary, it's absolutely, totally ridiculous. And I've been watching it, and I can't tell if the producers believe it, if they bought into it, or or if they don't, and they realize, too, that it's ridiculous. So that's driving me crazy. Like, are they presenting it as real or not? But there's one character in this that comes up in this documentary series, if you watched it so far, Michael Riconosciuto. And this guy reminds me of every crazy guy, every nut who sends me emails about the real scoop on the Maury Murray case. You know, every time I write about a big unsolved mystery, you get these weirdos coming out of the margins, out of you know, nowhere, and they claim they've got the goods, the info on the mystery, but they never do. They just like the attention. This Riconosciuto, he looks and acts exactly like all these people I've gotten to know over the years. That's the pop culture. If you're watching this Octopus Murders, I don't know if I'm watching. I think it's one of those hate watches, and I don't want to be one of those people that does stuff like that, but I can't stop watching. The book of the week for true crime this week is an older book. It came out about 10 years ago. It's called Too Young to Kill, but it's been climbing the charts again, I think because it had like a discount on Kindle or something, but it's like up there again, and it's by my friend M. William Phelps. Here's the write-up on it. If you haven't read it so far, it's a great true crime book, true crime mystery, Too Young to Kill. 16-year-old Adrian Reynolds couldn't unravel the twisted tangles of jealousy and domination complicating her new life in East Moline, Illinois. What began as a fresh start after a troubled home life in Texas ended with Adrian's body charred, stuffed into garbage bags, and scattered. It seemed the work of hardened criminals, but the truth was far more astonishing. Her own best friends choked Adrian to death and cut her up. Now, master crime writer M. William Phelps recounts this horrific saga of teen lust and violence in every gripping detail. Now, Phelps is very good at writing about solved mysteries, and he gives you the characters involved, the real people, and presents it in a way that reads like just a really compelling, suspenseful story. So give it a read. And that's the news for this week. I'll be back next week. Hang out with me. Go check out Synth Sleuths. But hey, it's almost, I mean, it's literally springtime, I guess. Technically, it is springtime. And it's starting to warm up here in Ohio. Wherever you're at, go out this weekend. Enjoy the weather. And in the words of the incomparable Murray Saul, we gotta get down, damn it. True Crime This Week is a Fearful Symmetry production. Photo and artwork are licensed through Shutterstock. If you like the cut of my jib, I have another podcast you might enjoy called The Philosophy of Crime, in which I attempt to solve the big questions behind our true crime obsession by looking to philosophy for answers. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next week. Sit, Brownie, sit. Good dog.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.